Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I am so thrilled today because we have with us Linda Dyer from Australia. Linda is absolutely amazing. She is just bringing out her eighth book, You Can Make It Happen Now, Create Confidence Kids, and it's written to inspire you, the parent, grandparents, caregiver, teacher, coach, and all adults to aim yourself with the most updated tools that you possibly could have that are here today, and also technology for tomorrow. These tools allow you to offer yourself and the children in your life the best of current knowledge to be confident and empowered and in control of their own lives and share their gifts with the world. Linda heads by example and shares with you a fabulous understanding of children growing up, the steps to create great experiences and change, and how it can be for you and your children to confidently move forward. Linda, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Linda, for those who haven't had a chance to meet you, can you just briefly tell us a little bit about what you've been doing with your life that is so amazing and how you came to write not only this book, but seven other international bestsellers?
Well, I have you to blame for that, Vicki, which is wonderful. I was one of seven children growing up on a farm and humble beginnings, I can tell you. And so from that, I made a decision as a child that I wanted to be more. And I just really worked on that, not knowing that what I was doing, but I wanted to be that famous tennis player. And off I went and put myself through school. And my mother did the best she could with the uniforms we had and what have you. But I always wanted more. So I got a job when I was young. When I missed out on going to university by 2 marks, I went, you know what, I'm going to university. So I worked for jobs for 4 years and put myself through university. Things like that. I just had a determination. If I wanted something, I went for it. And then I got lupus. I got really sick because I was pushing the barrow. And I thought, well, I'll just work out how I got sick and then I'll get better. And that's what I did. I studied the body. And then from that, I thought, you know what, when my mum died, and she was just like my bestest friend on the planet, when my mum died, it dawned on me that there's seven children standing up here all telling an audience that they, you know, this is their life with their mum, and everyone was different. And I thought, wow, isn't it different, the perceptions that we have around how we live and what we do? And I just had so much knowledge, and I just gained so much wisdom from the experiences that I had, you know, running through Africa and working those four jobs to put myself through uni and all the things that I did, and dressing up as a man to go to England to find my dad and hitchhiking across the Canadian Rockies. And whatever I wanted to do, I realized I just did it. And I thought, why don't I share that information in a book? Because if I can do it, anyone can do it. And that's how it all started. And then you kindly rang me, because somebody rang you, and said, why don't you interview me? And I just cried, because it was like I promised my mom at her funeral that I would write the book she never wrote. And that's what I did. And then we started with the one chapter, and then it got me going. And I thought, you know what, I might have a scaredness about writing a book, but if I just start with a chapter, you know, then that's such a great way to do it, because it just got me started. And now, like, you know, I can't stop.
I know every year another new book. It's just incredible. And sometimes more than one in a year. It's just awesome. Linda, tell a little bit. You know, we just had this horrific earthquake that happened, you know, over in Europe. And it's so, so sad. And it, so many deaths and so forth. If you could just briefly tell the story about how you wrote your book in such a timely fashion that that worked out to change lives in China?
I wrote a book called Good Grief, What a Wonderful Life I Have, and that was written by my dog, Pugsy. And that happened because I had 6 deaths in 6 months. So when my mum died, she was the last of 6 deaths. So I had a doctor partner that I was going to open a wellness center with. I had a guy that I was in business with in health. I had, you name it, but they were all dying. And I started to not go out with men, and all sorts of things started happening in my life because I thought, is it me? You know, what's going on? And how do you get through this amount of grief? I exercised every day, and I was walking up to the tennis center, and I was whacking the ball against a wall, and it was like my dog just spoke to me and said, I don't know what you're fretting about me for. Why don't you just focus on the good part of what we had, because we had so much good. And it just dawned on me, and it was just like, oh my gosh, I could feel these rocks leaving my shoulders. And I was crying and laughing all the way home, and I thought, that's a brilliant idea. So I got home, got on the computer, and I typed for 3 hours. And I just cried and laughed and typed. And I thought, and I cried, and my dog was just sending me all the messages, you know. And this is what we did, and remember when we did this, and how many people's lives we affected, and you took me to university when you were teaching, and all those students loved me, and, you know, they'd been in prison, and you worked in the prison, and you took me into the prison. And those students, you know, changed. And then I was teaching NLP at the time. The book came out, and a friend of mine helped me translate it, and all of a sudden I just knew when I was in China that I was there to be a part of that earthquake, to help the victims. I had no idea. I mean, how can you do that? I don't speak a word of Chinese, but something inside me told me I was there to help the earthquake victims. And so I never ignore my gut. And my friend Hong, God love her, she translated the book. 3 weeks later, with a lot of hard work, till 2 a.m, we worked out contacts. We made our way up to the earthquake zone. We had a lady that met us up there. She helped us by getting in a car, and we went right up into the earthquake zone, which I will never, ever forget. We saw 100 kids out of 2,000 in one school. That was all that was left. And we gave them these books, and it just changed their world. And then all the people from the village came out. And I said to them, this is a birthday gift for the rest of your life. So this day becomes a birthday for you moving forward. And just focus on how wonderful it was to be in the lives of those people rather than this awful gap that's been left behind by this earthquake. And then you'll be able to move forward. Roger Hamilton then heard about my story and put it in an international magazine. And my goal that year was to have a charity that I could get my teeth stuck into and to go global with my business. And, of course, both things happened because I did that one act.
Mm, that is so amazing. And then it was years and years later that we helped you make that book an international bestseller. I'm so pleased to say.
Yeah,
and that was the first book that you did with us.
Yeah. So I didn't know what to do. I was so naive. I didn't even know that what I wrote was going to turn into a book until my NLP lady that I mentor, she said to me, you need to turn that into a book. And then the graphic designer said, I'll do the pictures if you like. And then $10,000 later, with everybody doing their bit, it became a book. But and now, I mean, I'm getting copies and copies printed all the time now, because that book's gone all around the world. It went to Samoa when they had the flooding. I brought it over myself to America and personally hopped in a car and took it to New Orleans and down in that area where Katrina was. Boxes went to South in Victoria when the bushfires went right through and killed 200 people. It's gone to Haiti. It's gone all over the world, wherever there's been a catastrophic event. It was like that was my gift to the world through my dog, to help them get through the grief. And tomorrow I leave for a funeral up the north coast, and I'm taking the book with me because this family's just absolutely feeling in a catastrophic state because these beautiful girls have lost their mum. So, you know, it's just one of those things that you do and you have no idea how long it's going to last for.
Yeah, it
you
is.
Know,
it's incredible.
Every book's done that. And that's what I think is so powerful about these books, is that they become a tool for everyone. And you just don't know, you know, when. Like last night I was getting text messages from a girl that's really unwell, in South Australia saying, thank you for sending, I just sent her a book out of kindness because she was unwell and had the same disease. And she said, I just want to tell you how well I'm doing. And to me, that's just the greatest gift, is to share whatever you've got. And then for somebody else, it doesn't matter how many people, it can be thousands as far as I know, but it's that those people that really just appreciate the fact that you didn't go to the grave with the music in you, you were able to share it before you went.
Yeah, and I think what is so lovely about that is, and you just alluded to it, is that for every one that you hear about, there are thousands out there that are impacted by your story that you will never hear from. But just knowing that it's out there and it's changing the world, how beautiful is that for everyone to experience?
It's just been overwhelmingly mind-boggling for me, because every book I write is more popular than the one before. And the last book, the lupus book, Healing Your Immune System, because that's what I call it now, Healing Your Immune System, because that's probably, it has greater response because every second person has an immune disorder. So it dawned on me that this book really needs to get out there to not only health professionals, but just to the general public. And I've been around Australia 4 times because of that book.
Mm.
And just
that's
keep
incredible.
Getting invited back.
So, Linda, there's a lot of people out there that have stories in them and possibly want to get their stories out, but, you know, they get blocked from writing and creating. And what do you find are the most important elements that keep you in a creative place when you're writing? Because no one pumps out a book like you do, and they're wonderful books, but you really, when you put your mind to it, that book just gets finished in no time. So how do you make that happen? How do you stay in that creative mode?
I think there's a couple of things. One is focus. So I make up my mind that I normally ring you and I say, okay, give me the goalposts. Right? And I'll say, when do I have to have this book out in order to come over and see you guys? And you'll say, right, I'll need it by this date. Because if I've got a goalpost, you know, like I'm a soccer coach. You know, I used to do soccer coaching for 10 years voluntarily to the boys in our area. And I know if you've got a goalpost, then you know where to shoot. So I set up my goalpost by ringing you. And my goalposts are that you need the book by the 16th of September, say, right? Well, we're already ready, almost ready to send it to you. So we're going to be 2 weeks ahead of schedule. So it's like, okay, so how many chapters? And all of a sudden, how am I going to set this book out? What would be the best way for me to set this book out so the universe, so the people out there will get the most from it? And all of a sudden the idea came to me about doing it in the alphabet, because that really relates to kids. Kids and alphabets just go together. And I started putting the alphabet down and I thought, oh my gosh, I have something under every letter. And then, like, when I got to X's and Y's, I thought, oh, this is going to be challenging, but it wasn't. XOX came up and I went, love, I'm going to talk about love. Where can I put love in? And XOS came up, and then Y, what would I put for Y? And I went, yelling. There's so many parents out there that are yelling at their kids and it just doesn't cut it. Kids don't get yelling. So what do we talk about that? You know, what are some options? What about Q? Great questions that you can ask kids rather than yelling, and get kids to be responsible for kids. Get them to grow up as more responsible people and taking actions for whatever their behavior is. And so it just started. I was so excited. I was jumping out of my skin with excitement because the ideas that were coming. And, of course, all my knowledge through NLP, and for 50 years I've been working with kids. So I knew kids from a nutritional level. I knew kids from a sports and fitness level because I had to teach it at TAFE and universities. So I had a lot of the information. And I'd written articles for school teacher magazines on eye patterns of children. That's going to blow people away when they read that chapter, because I don't know anyone else that does that. And then I said to one of the parents that edits my book, I said, can you tell me if this is a guide that you would use? And in the end, she rang me and she said, oh my gosh, Linda. She said, normally from a parenting book, I might get one thing that I can use. She said, I've got 3 massive gems out of your book already. So she said, it's definitely something you need to get out. And so that they're the drivers. It's not just about what I can put in. It's that universal connection, the ideas that come. But you've got to be open to them, Vicky. It's one thing to have. Everyone's got a universal connection. But how many of us are really open to the messages? And then when the messages come, just jot them down. And it just, you know. And if I don't know enough about that particular chapter, who can I bring in that does? And I'm very, very particular who I bring into my books. So I'll only bring two authors in at a time, and usually there's one on nutrition and maybe one other. So I've already contacted a doctor who's specialising in aged care because my next book's going to be on ageing, moving the goalposts in the ageing process. So I've already contacted a guy that I really want to be in that book. So it's like it comes to me and then I just go ahead and I do it and I make it happen. And then the universe sends me coaching clients or training clients, and guess what? They work full time and they only want to be trained on the weekends. Okay. That could be just perfect.
Oh, what? That's incredible. So, like, just to kind of sum it up, what I was hearing you say, I think, is that, first of all, you look at the amount of time you have and you allot some time for the process to happen. You dedicate some time to it. And then, then you actually outline the chapters. The table of contents becomes kind of like your plan for the rest of the book.
Yes.
And then,
and also the way people learn. People learn in four ways. So my lupus book, my immune book, is written in the way people learn, and the Moving the Goalpost book is going to be the same way. Why? Why am I writing this book? People have to have a why. And then what exactly is an immune system? So what is it you want to talk about? And then how? How can you demonstrate in your book to the audience that, your book can help them? And then what if? What if I could change my mindset? What sort of questions might you have that I could answer? What sort of testimonials can I get from other people around the world? That's the what if. Those four things are the way people learn. The why, the what, the how, and the what if. So if we cover those four things in our book, that's why the Healing the Immune System book has become so popular, because everyone is getting a lot out of it because the book's written in their learning style.
Mm-hmm. That is so important. That's really powerful for all writers to be able to tap into that. Really, that's really, really powerful. So, Linda, with the new book that you're just coming out with now, you know, Create Confident Kids, what do you hope the readers will take away from that book?
Oh, my gosh. You know what? If you could read any chapter in this book, you don't have to start from the beginning and go to the end. You can read any chapter. So if you just want to learn about the eye patterns, you can read the eye patterns. But just read it and read it and read it, because it's really interesting and new information, and it's going to take a while. It took me about 2 years to really get it. But now I do. I've changed kids all around the world, taken them out of dummy classes and put them into accelerated programs, simply because I understand the eyes being the windows of the soul. So if they just had a really good look at that, if they had a look at metaphors, you know, how can I tell a story to a child and to take away the resistance of that child's problem and me being a part of that? Nutrition and health. How can I change the way I provide nutrition for my child so that their behavior would change anyway? What better questions can I ask? So I think it's about, like the editor said, if you were to take three gems out of my book, then I think I'd be stoked and I think you'd be stoked.
That is so wonderful. So, Linda, if you were to look at this, and I mean you look at everything this way, but if you were to look at this more from a view of how it might affect the world, almost like a legacy for your expression and your message to children and to all of those who work with and deal with and live with children and love children, what would you like to see that look like as, again, almost like a legacy?
That children are being treated as unique individuals, that we stop molding children to be who we think they should be because of something that was inherited 5 million years ago through us, and that children are given an opportunity to be more responsible for their world and therefore grow up as more responsible adults, offering their potential and uniqueness to the world, and that it's not continually drummed into them that they're not good enough or that they don't measure up, because they absolutely do. There's a new ad on the TV lately about we're more alike, you know, than we are unalike. And I think that is exactly the message that I'd love to get out through this book. Have a look at their uniqueness. Have a look at their potential. Focus on that, but by asking better questions with children, we're going to have a whole bunch more children responsible, taking responsibility for the actions and everything that they do in the world, rather than being codependent on a bunch of adults. And then when those adults pass on or something happens to those adults, these children can't cope. We've got children with a lot of mental health problems, and I really think this codependency is a big part of that. But if we can, you know, show children that they are magnificent, and it, whatever that is to them in their uniqueness, their individual, you know, the universe put these children on the planet for a purpose, so let them achieve it. They're born so pure, and we're so busy telling them what they can't do. I'd love to change that. That would be my legacy. If I could change one thing in the world, it would be for parents or any sort of guardian to say we can't afford that, because that stops children setting goals. We want to be able to say, you know what, if that's something you really want, I've got real stories in this book, like a mother that pulled her child out of a program that was designed for autistic kids because she just could not stand seeing him. So, you know, well, doing nothing, almost drugged to the eyeballs. She took him off everything, homeschooled him, and at 10 years of age now, he's in university doing things that even Einstein couldn't achieve. He always was able to do that, but she saw that in him and she gave him a chance. How many other children are stuck in these programs that somebody else thought was a good idea? You know what? These children have a real uniqueness, and I think we need to start loving again and loving who we are as adults, learning to love us so we can shed out a different level of love to children and to encourage them to love who they are. You know, I think the Disabled Olympics that are coming up, I think that is a really beautiful thing for everyone to watch, just to have a look at abilities of people generally, and especially children.
Yeah, it is wonderful. And I've never had children, but I've always thought in interacting with them that the conversation and the interaction is much richer if you treat them like a short adult.
Yes.
You know? You have the respect for them that you would for any other adult from the standpoint of what they have to say being important, rather than thinking of them as children and looking at that as what they may contribute, or what they may contribute to you even in a conversation, as being more limited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also checking in where you're coming from. You know, like, if you've got issues, then why would you put them onto your child? It's really time for us to put our hand up and say, you know, we've got some issues. Let's go and deal with them, and then have the child be looked after from a totally different point of view. Yeah, and also children can pick up parents' emotions when they're young and carry them right through their life. And they're not theirs, they're the parents. And then I, as a coach, can pick them up and go, whoa, when did you get that? I picked it up in the womb, you know, or I picked it up when I was a two-year-old because my mum was so sad, I took on her sadness and I've carried it. And I don't understand why I'm sad. And I said, well, it's not your emotion, honey, let's get rid of that one.
Oh, yeah, Linda, you are
very, very interesting.
You are so amazing, and I always so enjoy our time together, and I can't wait to see you in just a few weeks now for the IPPI Book Awards, you know, in LA, and next year we're probably going to have even a more exotic location inspired by you. So thank you so much for joining us, Linda. It was such a rare and wonderful time.
Oh, thank you. And, you know, really, thank you, because you got me started on this. You motivate me and you assist me beyond anything I could ever do to get my message out to the world. And I'll always be grateful for that, always.
Well, the whole world is grateful for all that you do. And I know people will want to tap into more of your knowledge and wisdom and just amazing gratitude and gifts that you give. Could you give us a website where they could learn more about you and maybe connect?
Sure. It's mindpowerglobal.com.au.
Fabulous. Right. Repeat that one more time.
At mindpowerglobal.com.au.
Wonderful. I really recommend everyone go to visit Linda's website and experience more of her because, as I said, some of the richest moments that I've had in my life is spending time with Linda Dyer. Thank you so much, Linda, once again for being here.
Thank you.
And for everyone out there, if you would like to learn more about Expert Insights Publishing, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's G-E-T-E-I.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.